This is Inman's Real Estate Radio, where we go behind the scenes with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit Inman.com. Here's your host, Bernice Ross.
Welcome. I'm Bernice Ross at realestatecoach.com, and I have one of my favorite guests with me today, Michael Crista. Michael has trained hundreds of agents on how to use video in their business, and he's spoken before thousands of people here in the States and in Canada on this very important topic. In fact, what we're going to be talking about today is how you can leverage video to become the celebrity authority in your market. So welcome, Michael.
Hey, Bernice, thanks for having me here. It's a pleasure.
So let's begin. Why is using video in your business so critical to leveraging yourself as a celebrity authority? And could you define what a celebrity authority is for us, too?
Please? Yeah, it's kind of neat. That's a phrase that I coined years and years ago, and now I'm hearing it all over the place. So I think I must be onto something if other people are using it. But I think the celebrity authority comes from, let's go back a step, when people watch TV, what are the most popular TV shows right now? And you know that they're basically the reality TV shows. People have this instinct, this need to look over the shoulder or look over the fence to see what's happening, this voyeuristic urge, if you will, to see what's happening. And video mimics that because in our brain, we can't differentiate between a mobile screen, like on our cell phone or on our tablet or on that big 17-foot screen that I know your husband has down in the rec room. As far as our brain is concerned, it's moving pictures and sound. So when we see those moving pictures and sound, we're pulled into the story. But more importantly, that whole idea of the authority, when we see somebody on that screen, we divert the authority principle, this is what Cialdini would say, to that person. Because if they're on TV, they must be important. And if you can articulate a sentence without dragging your knuckles when you're doing this, you can be perceived as that authority. The celebrity part becomes in your marketplace as people start watching your videos. It's the same thing as if you were Brad Pitt or some movie star. Because they've seen you on the screen, they start seeing you as that celebrity in their marketplace.
So this is a case where its correlation is causation, at least in terms of how people are looking at the videos.
I would think it's the frequency of being able to see somebody. So if I just saw you once, I probably wouldn't have that retention factor. If I see you several times, and this is where it becomes important not to worry about creating the perfect video. And we'll talk about that in a moment because there is no such thing as the perfect video. It's about the frequency of content that you create so people get to experience you over a longer period of time.
So it's consistency over a period of time that's really important here. We need to, it's not one or two videos, it's an ongoing sequence of videos where we're doing different things. Now I'm hearing that the numbers of agents using video is not that high. Why is that?
I would think that there's a couple things at play here. And number one is there's a perception that video is too hard. It's too expensive. I don't have the time. Well, I say hooey to that is what I say. Because everybody has a cell phone. And the phones that we have today, I'll say if you have anything 2 years older or newer, you literally now have the ability to shoot, edit, and upload video to the web. You are literally a movie production studio. And in your hand, let's say you've got an iPhone 6S, you literally have more technology in your hand than they used to get Neil Armstrong to the moon and back. That's how crazy this is. So I don't think it's the complexity factor because it's never been easier to do. What I've discovered with the thousands of agents that I've spoken to and worked with, it's self-esteem. It boils down to, I don't want to look stupid. I don't know what to say. And I think I'm just too damn ugly to be on camera. And my response to that is, yes, absolutely you are. Now that we got over that, let's move on. Because when you show up on the door and you rap on that door and they open it, there you are. There you are in all your glory. And so they are going to meet you eventually. It's better that they meet you on camera first because then they make that decision, is this somebody I can know, like, and trust?
And, you know, Michael, you raised such a great point because it's not about how great you look. It's about whether they can like you and trust you.
It's know, like, and trust. That perfecta is huge, and that's what you can do in video. And the important thing is when you meet somebody for the first time, they may not remember your name. They may not remember what you said. What they'll remember is how you made them feel. And video mimics that exactly. If I can portray that I'm a caring person, and there's little tricks that we'll talk about how to make these videos more engaging, but I'm already planting those seeds ahead of time. So the person that's watching my video, if they make that conscious decision that they want to call me, in their mind, they've already decided that yes, I am that person that they can know, like, and trust. But more importantly, this is called parasocial behavior. They've made the decision that I'm their friend. In their mind, there's a little trick that our brain plays on us that it reaches out and it will fill in the gaps. If my premise is, I like this person, I don't know why, but I like this person, the other than conscious mind, or people call it the subconscious mind, will fill in the missing pieces to support that premise that I like that person, here's why.
I have a slightly different take on that. It is that your gut feeling, your heart, those neurons and that part of your body are assessing that this person is trustworthy, and then your brain finally gets the message, well, I can trust them. I don't understand the words, why I can't trust them, but it's a feeling I have. So I think we're saying the same thing. And did you call that parasocial behavior?
Parasocial behavior. We're basically, when we meet somebody, be it physically or when we see them or when we hear them, we put them into four basic categories. The first one is, and this is how we're hotwired. This is not a debate. This is how we're hotwired. I want to get into evolution. If there's people that don't believe in Darwin, switch channels, read a comic book. But for those of you that do believe in science, this is what happens. When we meet somebody, there's this visceral or gut response, can I trust this person? Are you a predator? Are you someone that's going to eat me, basically? Are we going to fight, or do we get along? So the first thing we make on an instinctual basis is, can I trust this person? That's the first box. The second one is this potentially someone I can mate with? Because propagation of the species, this is the way we're hotwired. And actually, the first box is, too, is this somebody I can trust, or is this somebody I have to run from, the flight response, somebody I can mate with? And this fourth one is crucial, because this is where we end up putting about 90% of the people we'll meet. It's complete indifference. Complete indifference. And if you think back to how many people you've met this week, how many of those people do you actually remember?
Very few.
And it's because we're so busy being busy that our brains have to shuffle through all that information that's being bombarded at us. And especially in this digital age that we live in now, there's so much information. Our brain is filtering out that stuff that's important to us so we can survive. And people that are indifferent to us, they fall into that box. That's why getting back into video and creating this frequency of content, that gives you such an advantage over everybody else, because the person watching the video gets that decision-making process of, is this somebody I can know, like, and trust? And again, when they make that conscious decision now to pick up the phone and connect with you, they've already decided that you are that person that can know, like, and trust.
And of course, the first person that they see face-to-face, or the first one they talk to on the phone, is the one that they will, at least in our number, say that's the one that you'll ultimately end up doing business with.
Well, let's take this one step further. They're not just hearing your voice, because that's only one modality. But when they see the video, they actually get a feeling of who you are. There's that guttural or visceral response. They're seeing you, how you react or how you're acting on video. They're hearing you. And if you, employ text in your video as well, now you're pulling in a different part of the brain. So you're almost completely engaged in what this person on the video is sharing with you.
Great point, Michael. So it's not just the voice on the phone or printed words on the page. They get your body language, your tone of voice. It's the next best thing to be in the room with you.
Absolutely. And even body language on video is so crucial. I've seen agents that are flailing their hands like they're possessed by the devil. You know, simple things like when I'm doing videos, for example, and you watch my style, I'm very relaxed. I'm having a conversation. And when I look at the lens, and this is crucial too, I'm looking at the lens as if I were looking into the eyes of a single person. And here's where many realtors fall down. To overcome this fear of the camera, it becomes a contest, where they're looking at the lens is looking back, and it's, I'm going to master this thing. And they're fixated on the lens. Well, if you were having a conversation with somebody, you're not fixated at their eyes. Your glance will break, you'll look away, you'll look back. So, but if I'm staring you down, like many people try to do when they want to conquer video, then again, it's not natural. And the person that's watching this video, they won't know what it is exactly, but there's just something there that's pushing them back.
I've heard some agents actually put a picture of a person that they're talking to beneath the camera. Have you seen anybody try that, Michael?
I've seen people put little teddy bears on top of the camera. They'll put a picture on top. What you could do is, let's say we're talking about the five important points you need to know about listing your home in a hot market, whatever that is. Let's say it's the magic number is 5 points. What I would do is I would put down the 5 points, bullet points, on a piece of paper big enough that I can read it, and I would tape it immediately below the lens of the camera that I'm using. Now, the bullet points will keep you on track. And for what I would say for realtors, typically, 1 minute, 2 minutes tops is all you need.
Research shows that the number of people viewing your video drops off after about 30 to 45 seconds, right?
Yeah, it depends on, there are a couple things at play here. Your message, is it compelling? Is it answering a question or a burning desire that they have? If they're not engaged, if it's got nothing to do with them and they're not interested, they'll leave quickly. The formula to this, which is kind of, sneaky and simple at the same time, is you want to tell them in advance what the video's about. And most realtors forget that they need a title. You don't just walk into a bookstore and pick a book off the shelf. It's the title that pulls you towards that book. The video has to have the same thing. You need that title. And then when you give them the title, you introduce what the topic's going to be. You introduce yourself. And then deliver on that title. If you said it's going to be 5 things, give them those 5 things. The next point is, have fun with this. You never want to look like the person that caught a bouquet at a funeral, right? At McDonald's, they say smiles are free. The same is true with video. You want to have fun with this so people feel like it's a conversation. And then the next point, point number 4 here, is do a summary. So if I said I'm going to give you 5 points and I've given you the 5 points and I'm having fun, this engagement is happening, I want to do a summary. So review those 5 points, and here's the most important part, point number 5. If it's a five-part simple formula, I forgot to call it the five-part simple formula. 5 is give them a call to action. Because according, again, to Robert Cialdini, he's the authority on influence and why we do the things we do, I have now earned the right, because I've solved a problem, I've given you something of value, to ask for something in return. And people want to give back when they've received something. It's in our DNA. Bernice, if you were out and it's a hot day and you're cutting the grass and I show up with a cold beverage of choice and you drink that, you're going to say, wow, Michael, thank you so much. And without realizing it, you want to return that kindness.
I have some cookies inside. Come join me.
Yeah, come on down. It's like when somebody invites you to a birthday party, you now feel obligated to invite them to your party. Reciprocity is basically the glue that holds our civilization together. The same is true in video. If I solve a pain, a problem, I've now earned the right to ask for something in return.
Michael, personally, I believe, at least for myself, if I'm going to take a listing, I'm going to hire a pro to shoot my property video. I might interview the seller or do some other things, but I think, at least for my business, I want a professionally produced video. What's your take on that?
I would say yes and no. If it's a really hot market, I really don't think you have the time for a professionally scripted and done video. Here's why. I think, and research has proven this time and time again, that when people are looking for a home, they're doing their research ahead of time. So they're going to open houses, and now the next logical place for them to go is they're watching videos online. And they're auditioning realtors online. So if they're watching a video and all it is a virtual tour, which is basically pictures with porn-type music in the background, and Bernice, don't ask me how I know what that music sounds like. I've now lost that opportunity to be the hero in the story. And when you pay your $10 to go see a movie at the cinema or you're renting a DVD, you're renting that story because you want to see the hero in the story. And I firmly believe that the virtual tour is the backdrop for the realtor to be the hero in that story. They need to be right at the beginning introducing the home. Here I am. It's Michael Crisa. I'm out front of 123 Anywhere Street. And let's take a quick look at this home. And then remember we talked about that voyeuristic nature of wanting to look over my shoulder. Then I take him and I do a quick tour. And I would not do every single room in the house. I would focus on some of the key areas in the home. And then what I would do, and this is a gutsy move, and the ones that have done this have reaped the rewards, is I would talk to the home sellers. And I'd say, hey, we're going to do a quick video. What is your most favorite part in this house? It could be the living room by the fireplace or whatever that is. So I would have them sit up front of that fireplace, and I want them to share with me that story. What is it about this room that is so spectacular? What is it that lights you up when you're here? And they're going to get into the emotions of, little Johnny scraped his knee here, and when he won his first trophy, we put it here on the mantle. They're going to take you into a place so emotionally deep that you as a realtor would never be able to go there. Because we have this evil tendency of doing sales speak, where we'll talk about the knotty pine floors and the paneling. People don't care about that. Video is all about the story. So if I can get the seller to get to that level where they're sharing with me the emotion of that room and that story, here's where it gets really good. One, I'm a participant in that story. So I'm in there. So the people watching the view, the video see me again as the authority and celebrity, and they're making that connection. But as a potential buyer, I am now identifying with that seller because chances are the reasons they bought that home will be the very same reasons that I will buy that home. So it's not me, Michael Creasa, the salesperson trying to make a sale. It's the home seller engaging with the potential home buyer. And it's almost like they're meeting for coffee and cookies and having a dialogue. That's powerful stuff, Bernice.
I know some people who have used that approach. It is extremely powerful. I couldn't agree with you more on that. And also that goes back to the point, if I don't want to be on the screen so much, then I can ask the question and then let the seller talk.
Yeah, that's kind of like the 60 minutes approach. But again, I still think it's crucial that they see you, that they experience you, because that whole factor of know, like, and trust, that comes from them experiencing you, having that sensation of who you are. And again, it's all about know, like, and trust, and that doesn't happen unless they see your smiling face.
Michael, in addition to the seller, who else should I be interviewing if I want to become the celebrity authority in my market using video?
Yeah, well, let's go back to the whole idea of the virtual tour for a second. If you have it professionally done, great. You know, if you don't want to do video, that's fine by you because it's all about choice. If you do the video yourself and you're a part of it, here's one thing that you have to remember. You've put in all this work to create this quote-unquote virtual tour, and you've posted it onto YouTube and in your blog and all the various channels to get it out there. And then somebody comes out and they put money on the table and they buy the darn thing. Well, then what happens? You have to take that video down because you can no longer promote a listing that is not yours. Would you agree?
Yes, completely.
So now all that effort that you put into this virtual tour is gone. So some of the stuff that I like to focus on is what I call evergreen video. Tell me about the parks in the area. Tell me about the places of worship, the shopping areas. I go under the premise that the person coming to this neighborhood knows nothing about the area. And so I want to be their concierge. I'll do short little video clips of here's a day in the life of, and we'll go through that neighborhood. And again, this doesn't have to be Gone with the Wind, a 17-hour saga. But each little clip, in a one-minute video, I could probably put in 7 or 8 different points of interest very quickly and narrate that as I go. It could even be in the car. Now, in terms of if I want to go deeper into the neighborhood, heck, I would go to the local restaurants, you know, and I would interview the restaurant owner or the chef and ask little questions like, how long have you been here? You know, what is it that people love about your food? And when you do a video like that, there's a number of things that are going to happen. Number one, that chef or that shop owner is going to love you. Because as far as they're concerned, video is black magic. They don't have a clue of how to do this. So when you share that video with them, I guarantee you that it's going to go on their website. And they're going to be telling everyone they know to watch this video. Well, that's a great referral source for you. And again, it establishes you as that authority. Remember, we talked about being the celebrity authority in your marketplace. The other thing you could do, let's say you're focusing on condos. Be the condo authority. What's it like to live in that building? Show me the amenities. Show me what's around there. Show me the gym, the parking lot, all that stuff. So as a potential buyer, I can make that informed decision even before I show up there.
I couldn't agree with you more in terms of when most of us do a professionally shot video, what we get is all the features. And what we know is that people buy on the benefits. So it's doing the personal videos that give you the benefits that also lead to becoming the celebrity authority. So that's making a shift from features to benefits. You know, while we're on this topic of features, a lot of people are really saying, oh, you got to be using drone photography now. What's your take on that?
Drones are really, I think it's number one, it's going to redefine what privacy is all about. But number two, what realtors have to understand that although you can run into Best Buy and drop a couple $100 and now you have a drone, there's something called vicarious liability. And you are not, I'll talk about Canada first because that's what I know intimately well. If you're doing a virtual tour with your drone, you are now operating that drone commercially. So it's no longer recreation, it's commercial. So the first question comes up, are you insured to fly that drone? What happens if it falls out of the sky and lands on little Timmy and cuts his ear? Who's responsible for that? Well, there's a number of things that are going to happen. Number one, if you're doing this for your home seller, then vicarious liability would say the liability is going to flow uphill. So number one, you'll potentially get sued. But because the seller hired you, now potentially the seller's on the hook as well. Because he, in all sense and purposes, is the employer that hired you to do the marketing.
Oops.
He's responsible. That's called vicarious liability. The other thing is you have to look at the regulations within your city or town. Here in Ontario, you can't fly within, I think it's 15 kilometers of an aerodrome, meaning an airport, a strip. You can't fly your drone over populated areas. So if you're doing one of a neighborhood, technically you're already in violation. So I think it's just a matter of time. Number one, there are so many drones out there that the authorities are trying to figure out, how do we legislate this? How do we control it? It's just a matter of time before they start enforcing it. So drones are cool. Yeah, they're fun. I think right now it's kind of a Pandora's box. I would be very, very cautious of using it. I think this is the point where you talked about hiring a professional. I would put the monkey on their back. If I wanted to have a drone tour, I'd probably hire them. Going rates are anywhere from 100 to 200 bucks, and they'll do the flyovers. They'll do the editing for you. They're the ones that are certified. They're the ones with the insurance. Let them assume the liability.
So if I'm going to hire someone to do drone photography for me, I want to make sure that that they're carrying insurance and that they're a reputable provider, not someone who's, you know, some kid that's bought this and who can do really cool things with
it. Are they qualified? Because technically, again, here in Canada, and I know it's pretty similar in the States, you've got the, what's your aviation authority?
FAA.
Yeah, so technically, you have to file a flight plan. So commercially here in Canada, you have to file a flight plan every time you put that thing in the sky if you're using it commercially. So it's not just the whim that I'm driving by 123 Anywhere Street and I'm going to throw that thing in the air and take some pictures. They have to file a flight plan. Now, after you've done so many, there are shortcuts around that, obviously, but these are people that are professional, they're certified, and they're insured.
Michael, any other takeaways for our listeners from today?
I think, well, let's get over the fact that, you know, video is too hard to do. It's not. You've got a cell phone, you can do a video. Video is live, you're doing it. I would think the other thing, too, is have fun with this. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't stare at the lens. And here's another little tip, and this is crucial, very, very crucial, especially if you're using a webcam or you're using your cell phone. We have a tendency of looking down at the camera, especially if it's a webcam. And the other thing is when we're looking down at the camera, we're staring away, or we're looking at the, if I'm using my cell phone, for example, I'm looking at the reflection of me in the phone. And so I'm not looking at the lens. So remember, you have to pretend that the lens is the eye. And if I'm looking at the lens, then I'm making eye contact with the person on the other side. What I want to do, and I have to be very cognizant of this, I want to make sure that the lens of the camera, be it my cell phone or webcam, whatever you're using, is lined up eye level with me or just slightly higher. And the reason I say that is, Bernice, if you and I are having a conversation, you're sitting at the table and I walk up and I'm looking down at you, how does that make you feel?
Like you're controlling me or you're
Yeah, it's condescending. Mm-hmm. Who's this creepy bald guy looking down on me? And it's a power play and we don't even realize it. One of the things about eye level, if you look at Prince William and see, just Google him with his children and look how he engages with them, he's never standing up when he speaks to them. He always gets down on his knee and he's at eye level. That's crucial because he's at their level. He's at their place where they're talking. Video is exactly the same thing. If I can get at eye level and that person feels comfortable with me, or I mentioned having the camera just slightly higher, now the person watching the video feels that they're a bit higher than me. Again, this is all psychological. There's that feeling of there's something about this guy I like. And it goes back to that trifecta of know, like, and trust. So another simple little thing, look at the lens at eye level. Don't look at your smiling face in the camera screen. Make sure you're looking at the lens. And treat it like a conversation, and then you'll do well with it.
Michael, what a great series of tips and recommendations you've given us today. We've been visiting with Michael Creasa of realestateunplugged.com. Check out Michael's training. He is one of the best people in the industry if you want to learn how to use video in your business. Michael, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, Bernice, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me here today.
This is Bernice Ross, and thank you for joining us for Inman Real Estate Radio. Be sure to tune in next Thursday when we'll be back with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit Inman.com. Make it a great day.